Oh, yes. Here we go. That's better.
Do they still do that in the new Star Wars? Are they still playing this thing?
I think they might bring it back now with the whole Fox, Disney thing.
They should.
And now for something completely different.
This is Shug Jordan, coach of the Auburn Tigers.
Say what?
No.
It's pronounced
Jordan.
Yes.
This is Shug Jordan,
play that before
football coach of the Auburn Tigers.
You want to get folks in a good mood. It's pronounced Jordan. Groundbreaking radio.
Well, podcast.
In podcast form.
Do we call it radio these days? Again, it is kind of weird. But if you tell me right now that we're actually live on the air, that you accidentally hit a button and we're live.
Oh, we are live.
That's going to help me in the to get the juices flowing again.
We are live.
Speaking of the radio show, so our award-winning Rich and Jeremy in the Morning just wrapped up.
Yep.
And here we are. And in that today's episode, we discussed the goofy write-in candidates or names that were written in for this past special election.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And, of course, Nick Saban, I think, currently has 254 of these things. You got the Bugs Bunnies.
Of the 21,000 plus.
21,000 write-ins. Nick Saban, and there was actually some liberal, like, political action group or something advocating and trying to encourage people to write in the names of their favorite, like, coaches and whatnot, and a lot of people apparently took it to heart. He's gotten votes before, old Nick has, but usually it's like a 1, 2, 3, 4, just somebody going in there.
Right.
Having a little fun, being able to start a conversation that day for the lunch and their miserable lives.
Because let's face it, if you're writing in Nick Saban.
You get it. Exactly. You get it.
I'm with you.
So I wanted to go back and look at this.
Just completely slammed a whole section of the populace. Sorry.
Well, no, they're not listening to this. And if they are, then God bless them. Then, you know, when God shuts a door and windows and grace available to all. So anyway, so I wanted to go back and look at the history because I'm sure El Bear had received plenty of votes in the past.
You think so?
And so I started digging, and sure enough, he has. And but of course, so have some other coaches, even on our side.
Oh, really?
So I wanted to go. I took a look back at some of the, and I'll mention the Bama stuff too, because it all plays a part because they're competing against each other.
How in the world do you find this information? Is this all public
Rich,
record?
I don't tell everybody my business. I don't public. Well, I haven't. These are old newspapers.
Okay.
I haven't cracked into like the county records or anything, but maybe I should because, yeah, this is all just public. These are all stories that were written.
This is reported.
It. Because even 50 years ago, it was still this novel little, hey, read this little kind of thing about the write-ins. Because occasionally, I mean, in 1962, George Wallace just swept the state 93 or 97% of the vote, something insane. And but there were some write-ins that year that Robert E. Lee was written in, and
I'm pretty sure my history is a little fuzzy. Pretty sure he was deceased.
Deceased. Martin Luther King was still around, and he got a handful of votes. But
good
so, but so did for the gubernatorial race. So did Bear and Shug.
Really?
Yeah. So Harry, so I'm going to go just a quick list. This is going to be today. I think we might hit two topics today.
Okay.
Because this is going to be kind of brief here. Let's see, Bear, believe it or not, actually got a first vote when he was, out in Texas in 56, some lone star stater thought he was doing a good enough job with the Aggies, that he could, take care of Texas too.
Okay.
And so in 62, let's see, Bear got some for the gubernatorial thing. He also got, in the congressional category, he got a handful, right? One or two.
Okay.
But so did Shug. In 1962, still riding the wave from the national championships and the undefeated seasons.
Absolutely.
Shug, and frankly, I mean, he was a leader of men in WW2.
Sure he was.
Why
Stormed
not?
Stormed the beaches at Normandy.
We thought he'd
save the free world from Nazis.
Right. A couple of people thought he would serve us well in Washington.
I have no reason to believe he wouldn't.
So that was that year.
It was now, really the anti-Catholic bias that was happening at the time.
That's probably what it was. Backlash. Now in 72, Bear topped Shug in the presidential write-in. Okay.
Oh, okay.
However,
yeah,
he made headlines 4 years later for beating out a rare blanking of the Bear for president. In 76, against Carter, Suge got one vote across in the nation, probably in Alabama.
Yeah, probably.
No one voted for Bear Bryant in 76.
You're kidding.
Not a single person. It was kind of like a big deal, at least in Alabama, that like he hadn't gotten at least his the token one or two nut jobs out there, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, and so but then Bear bounces back 10 years later. Suge also got a vote for Senate in 78 and in 72.
Okay.
So he didn't get the presidential – he didn't win the presidency right in football coach presidency in 72, but he did win the Senate.
Okay, well, that's okay. Good. Still a very powerful
So Bear
position.
Bounces back from his embarrassing 76 defeat. Right.
Just a shellacking.
Right.
He was really a no-show.
And he got three write-in votes again for state senator like a few months – two months before he died.
Oh,
right? Not that death deterred – Alabamians in voting for the man, because in 86 not. Going up against he got a vote for the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court in 86, 4 year his ghost. you probably would have done all right, frankly.
Well, he was a good judge of talent. Yeah,
a lot of decisions. Now then it goes on, because it's not just the Grant, it's not just the Abrahams. We have the Ray Perkins started getting some when he came on. Not much. He got a vote for attorney general and state treasurer.
Sure that would have been a wise
move. The first
one
I saw for Dye was in 1990. Somebody wanted him multiple offices. I don't know which one he would have gone with. Appeals court judge,
mm-hmm.
place one.
Sure.
Secretary of State.
Oh, I like that.
I think
one.
That would have been really very good. And state treasurer. Now, he was the athletic director. He controlled the purse strings for, you know, a major institution.
Well,
worked.
I know he had an affinity for secretaries, so maybe.
What? We on? Let's see. The Bama, Bill Curry also got a vote for, like, state treasurer or something. That wouldn't have worked out at all.
No.
So Gene Stallings and Terry Bowden, both in 94, they're both coming off, kind of sort of coming
years,
off.
Sure.
92, undefeated, 93 for Bowden.
Yep.
So 94, they get a couple of gubernatorial write-ins. So did Barkley, as in Chuck.
Charles Barkley.
Sir Charles Barkley.
Got a write-in for governor.
As did, I can't even believe it, Jay Barker. Gag me. Beavis got one. Butthead got one. And in Rush Limbaugh, 94, you can understand. You got the Republican Revolution. It makes sense.
Yep. Contract with America.
We keep going. Now, I'm sure there's been some other ones in there and everything. But in 2010,
oh wow,
here's the breakdown for 2000. This was kind of an Auburn swept it. Former Auburn greats swept the write-in vote in Alabama.
As you might imagine.
Gene.
Of course.
The got chiz. A nod for governor.
The chiz.
Yes.
Who, and by the way, I think would make an excellent governor.
He would make a governor. He would make an excellent governor.
His chizdom tweets.
Knows no bounds.
I'm telling you, it's awesome. Gene Chizik on Twitter is an awesome follow if you have not.
Inspiring.
He's
various offices, we have a write-in, even in 2010, for Pat Dye.
Okay.
Even post-Pantsgate.
It's really more pants port.
Lake Gate.
pants dock. Something.
Even post. Well, water pants. Watergate. So there we go. All right.
They may or may not have been dockers.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, my friend.
I can't believe I haven't heard that. That is great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bo Jackson.
Yes.
Bo got a nod for some office, as did the blessed individual. Talking about Cam.
Sure.
Nicky Boy got another one in 2010 for something. And so that was actually for Senate in 2010.
Oh.
So he's had one in 2010 and 254. So his current total as of, I think there's like half the counties have reported. So he's at 255 for Senate. So I just thought that was an interesting look back. It's probably not comprehensive, but at the same time. Now let's take another look back at another little something.
Okay.
You ready for this? And this one...
So we're going to shift gears?
We're shifting. We're pivoting.
All right.
But we're obviously still going back. You know, what with today with the coaching and the carousels and the all this and the whatnots, I thought this would be an interesting thing. After Barfield, you know, Doug Barfield.
He's a good man.
I've interviewed him. That's going to be an episode or two.
Here's the secret. He may be moving back to the Auburn Opelika
area. Making it like six coaches. I mean, how many?
Yep.
How many live here?
There is a very real possibility that he may move back into Lee County.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So after in 80s is his last year.
Right.
So Auburn's looking for a coach and everything. And I found it fascinating going back to see, because you just assume that Pat's there in the University of Auburn and it's great traditions and it's a, and but of course we had to like find him. And there was some drama going on because he's up in Wyoming. He'd gone from East Carolina, done really well there, went to Wyoming, and it was only in his first year, like in 1980. And, of course, you know, you're doing the first year coach promises about wanting to
lay some groundwork
and build tradition and yada, yada, right? So when they're going around looking around, I wrote a little something for a certain website talking about one of the prominent names that was being bantered around. It was out there.
It
was really out there. It was kind of like forerunner, at least in the press out there. And it got kind of shot down by a guy who was at the time, I'm not going to name names, but was kind of, in the media circles at the time and writing and covering the story. And he was, this is inaccurate. It wasn't like this. The irony being that half of the stuff I was getting this stuff, you know, getting these reports from, he had written.
Of course.
So I'm not exactly sure. If he just is, you know, he was so wrong and just doesn't want to, I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, Dan Reeves, the point is, Dan Reeves was one of the,
we could have had Dan Reeves.
As in Denver Broncos, Dan Reeves, and then where'd he go?
Washington.
That. Yeah, DC, yeah, he the was, Redskins.
He was the
Dan
Redskins,
Reeves. Right? I grew up Broncos. Dan Reeves and Elway, that was the combo in my mind. But so Dan
Holy
Reeves,
cow.
Like it wasn't just like we were going after him. Like he was legit interested, right? That was like the main. That was the biggest with a bullet rumor, post Barfield, was that we were really going after Dan Reeves, and that he was really keen on the idea. Here's some quotes. You ready?
I want to hear him.
Like we were going after him. Like he was like lobbying, basically. He wanted this job. Now, 3 months later, after it, we give it to Dye, and then he goes to the Broncos like 3 months later.
Unbelievable.
He was at the time, he was under Landry with the Cowboys. He was an assistant.
Patrick Dane Fye.
No.
Patrick Fane Dye.
Yes.
Is an Auburn legend. We named the field after him. I don't want to insinuate.
Yeah, and Dan Reeves Field does not roll off the tongue.
I do not want to insinuate that Auburn made a mistake in hiring Coach Dye.
No.
But the fact that Dan Reeves was lobbying to get this job.
Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna see how much he was lobbying.
Why do I always say that wrong? Patrick Dane Fye. I don't know why
he deigned to bring Auburn...
Or deemed it.
Ordained. It was ordained.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, I will say
yes,
that a War Dan Eagle bumper sticker would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was.
That would have been pretty choice.
All right.
But at the same time, you can't decide a coach on that. But so here we go. So here's a quote from Dan. I would definitely consider the head coaching position at Auburn University. And he got that right.
Yeah.
If the position were offered. Right. I think Auburn is one of the top colleges in the country, and anyone who is in coaching, whether professional or collegiate, would definitely have to consider the possibility if offered.
Wow.
Right. So that's what he was. He was a Southern boy. He's from Georgia. He played quarterback at South Carolina.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I had no idea.
He was under another fedora wearing legend under Tom Landry. He had all the intangibles. Well, not the intangibles, but he had all the,
sure.
He had a resume that would have looked appealing.
Yeah, yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
I also didn't realize that he fell under the Tom Landry coaching tree.
A lot of people wanted Dooley, and we went after Dooley, and Dooley really considered it. Right.
Sure. Which would have been another fine choice.
But Reeves was kind of like next in line in terms of like the immediate press coverage. Who would you want? Kind of a deal.
Right.
He was an up and comer. And then, you know, there was also Bobby Bowden, was supposedly, you know, was a name getting floated.
Bobby?
Tom Osborne with Nebraska was getting
floated around.
Former Auburn star Billy Atkins, who was at the time, was a St. Louis. He was with the Cardinals, and he was really like lobbying, kind of felt a little jilted that he didn't get it.
Sure.
Auburn coordinator Alex Gibbs under Barfield, and then Dye. But Dye was – it was very much just kind of – it was very aloof. There weren't a lot of early signs that he would be the man. He was almost kind of like bottom of the list kind of deal for
him. Well, you know, I think the fact that, you know, when they offered it to Billie Jean King and she turned it down, that's really when Pat Dye became the front runner.
You know? That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
That would have been something.
It was a completely it was a big shift. They were really trying, you know, after the Doug Barfield years, they were really trying to make a 180. You know,
just shake
things up completely different.
But like supposedly like board of trustee members were actively like some big boosters were going to him. We're making pitches, overtures. We're going, like, talking with him. Board of trustee member Charles Smith III, great board of trustee member.
Oh, sure.
Trip. Yeah, it hadn't been him. He hadn't been the one, but he told some paper he would certainly be an excellent contender. I want a Charger, and he is a Charger. Reeves keeps coming out. The stories keep coming. I think it's one of the better coaching situations in the country.
The problem with being a Charger, though, Jeremy, and this, is that you run up debt. If you keep charging over and over and over, you run up debt.
And the athletic department, it could not afford
not
it
at that time.
Now, speaking of that and the debt and everything, so Reeves says, I think it's one of the better coaching situations in the country. It would take some school like that to get me out of the pros and away from the Cowboys. One of the kind of the things that made it not such a great idea for him is that post Barfield, everybody thought Lee Haley was also maybe in danger of losing his gig
as the athletic director.
Yeah. And Bear had been made athletic director and coach at Bama. There was a real sense that Auburn needed to do the same thing. Dr. Philpott had denied that to Shug, led to a little beef there.
Gotcha.
Tiny beef there.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, it's good enough over there. Let's do it over here.
Yeah.
Dye was all about that idea. Dye was all about it. Reeves actively, I mean, that's how much into the conversation Reeves was. They were asking him about the possibility of being athletic director. He was like, he said, the two don't mix. All that Title IX and women's athletics, I wouldn't want any part of the athletic director's job. So he's just coming out. He doesn't want the headache.
So that actually, you know what? So it probably worked out best. Then.
Probably did.
Probably
Dye
worked out best.
Dye came in and gutted things and prioritized, and here we are.
Yeah.
And Wardle
and
again.
Listen, he loved to watch a...
he loves watching a woman swing a bat.
Absolutely.
He likes watching a woman play basketball. He told us that on his radio show. Anyway, some interesting stuff to get you through the Christmas break. We'll probably be back at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
TheWarEagleReader.com can have some fun there, too.
A ride in a Jeep.com.
That's right. And, of course, Rich and Jeremy in the morning. I'm writing some books.
Wings 94.3 and
out.
On WingsFM.com. It's Merry pronounced Christmas. Jordan. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you.